Thanks for checking out the Leon LeGrier podcast. Today is Friday. It is Friday, August 6th. Thanks for coming in and checking out on today's podcast. I do hope you enjoy episode 163. Before I begin, I want to go ahead and give you a few words of our sponsors, which today I wanted to just give you guys a moment to look up on Scooch. If you are looking for protection for your phone, this is a wonderful choice for your phone and an excellent way to protect your phone. Either if it's an Apple phone you have, LG, Samsung, you name it. And it's really, really good. I've had this for months. And plus, the fact of the matter is that I really, really enjoy this case. It's sturdy and it does a great, great job for just simple needs. Absolutely. And I love it. I absolutely love this case. So go ahead and check out the link down in the description below. So you guys can go ahead and check out the cases for your model phones and go ahead and check that out. The next is Brave. I use Brave on pretty much a daily basis. I love Brave. Brave is a really good browser that I use on a daily basis to protect from advertisers or trackers, anyone that is tracking me the most. Something that I use every single day, and I love Brave, and something that I recommend to people whenever I am talking to people on the street, people on the internet, whatever it may be too. I love Brave. Brave is something I use for my daily web serving activities. Go ahead and check out the link down below and just click on the referral down the show notes of the description down below. And also I have other ads down below if you guys want to go ahead and check it out. Please be sure to check out all the links below and make sure to support me on the following down there if you want to help me as a creator and support me as a creator furthermore. So with that said, thank you so much for checking up on today's podcast. I hope you enjoy it. Please be sure to rate, review, like, or subscribe wherever you are. Take care. Yo, what's happening, everybody? Leon LeGrier back here on episode 163 of the Leon LeGrier podcast. That's right. We are in 163 of the Leon LeGrier podcast, and thank you for joining in on the latest and greatest of the Leon LeGrier podcast. And before we begin starting, I want to just go ahead and put this out there to everybody that is watching or that is listening to me on your podcast services of your choice, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google or Stitcher Podcast, or any of your podcast services of your choice. So looking on forward, and for me, what I look forward to most right now is stuff that's been happening, like decentralization, new stuff that's been going on right up on the net, and I cannot wait to use more on what we are seeing, definitely. And I'm very happy that that we're seeing more decentralizations, things that's going on up on the net, you know. And this is really cool stuff too. And if you've not heard of a YouTube alternative, that something I've been using for some time to watch all my other creative creators out there that pretty much switched from YouTube all the way to a place called Odyssey. And there's other YouTube alternatives out there, but YouTube has pretty much has synced below. And to me, the other day when I was watching YouTube or trying to look for a video specifically on a concert which is from my favorite band Faith No More, which I couldn't find the freaking concert for the life of me. And I have to tell you though, YouTube is sinking down its ugly rear head, and I do not like the direction of YouTube, where it's going. I just don't. Whew. And I really have to say this, but you know, YouTube is really, really not the same where I used to know. And YouTube is just just being what it is, just being a dick on the search, on search, and I couldn't even find the Pacific video. The Faith No More 2015 live in Hungarian video, which I was trying to find. It was like one of my other favorite live concerts. Not for one, I couldn't find it. So let me just switch over my cam over to Odyssey here. As you can see, you can check out my channel, which I have all my audio and video videos published right here, right up on Odyssey. So guys, go ahead and check out this alternative YouTube alternative right here, which I think you guys would like, and I think you will like it a lot too. And also, best thing about this too, like if you already have a YouTube account already to this point, that means, guess what, you do not have to go through having to re-upload all the videos that you've had over the years. So guys, go ahead and do yourselves a favor and sync up your YouTube channel up on Odyssey and get it posted right there too. In fact, one of these days, once the Odyssey uploader is done much better, I'm not gonna even go and upload any more videos up on YouTube. But for now, this is the alternatives that we have up on against YouTube, the big bag boys around too, which to me, I don't like where YouTube is going, and I want to definitely share Odyssey. In fact, let me just go back onto Odyssey's main page so you guys can see over on my screen. I love the stuff that they have. In fact, I follow a lot of Bitcoin news. Just mostly Bitcoin news in general, tech news from other commentators out there that were on, were up on YouTube, but now up on Odyssey as well. So just scrolling down, and so looking over here, they have categories for each and every one. Especially if you're a gamer, upload your stuff on Odyssey. If you're about beauty, upload it on Odyssey. Or if you're a musician, get it out there. What are you waiting for? Please, please, please go and do yourselves a favor and check it out. Goodness sakes, goodness sakes. So, all right, everybody. And that's why I just want to go ahead and mention. So that is one of the things I figured I'd put this out there, because I know when people said, how about put your content up on YouTube? I said, sure, why not? How about put your content everywhere so people can see your content? Which to me, I think there should be so many choices for people to do this, to get their content, not just one platform, but many platforms as much as you can. And honestly though, it's just so many platforms, alternative platforms out there. It's just ridiculously hard to keep up with everything. Every single thing. It's just like, that's something, it's hard to keep up with so much. And it's like, for me, when you're going through playing catch up, it's just like you're just catching up with the Joneses, your neighbors, or especially with news going around, especially what is happening. And to me, it's obviously where we are at in the tech world, and especially with now what's going on. The tech world has just been crazy. Digital age has been very, very crazy. What's been happening? And I've got to say though, the culture of technology is, especially, I have to say though, after getting involved with technologies, as a technologist and someone that's been going around and loving this tech space a lot, and ever since I was younger and got myself into selling computers in a local computer store and helping clients over the phone as a contractor, I would say that the tech space and the tech world out there is just are just in very different times now, as something that we haven't seen before. And I know that things will change and evolve, and I think a lot of things, for me, a lot of things I I see right there is just going to evolve even more and more when time goes on. So, and here on today's podcast on 163 of the Leon LeGray podcast, what I will give you my current thoughts on the war on the operating systems, Big Brother, Facebook spying concerns, which that's news that's been around for about over 3 weeks, but I want to get in-depth and more into it too, which something that needs to be addressed. And also, the last thing I want to talk about is privacy messengers and what I'm looking for to switch over. Let's go. And first is first. So before I get into other articles on today's show, so the first thing I want to outline, one thing, what I've said from last episode, what I've thought about too. And the last podcast I've talked about was the fact that, for everything, like I've said, like everything that's been going on with things that's happening in technology. And first of all, we've always known that there's always been, majority of the time, there's always been two camps. You already have Windows and you already had the Mac camp, which is what I call the cult of Apple, right? And to me, that's something I'd say with both of them is that both are very, very similar. I think there's not really much huge of a difference if you think about it. I don't see a big, big difference with both of them. The fact that they're both major OSs and one thing does one differently than the other, which I think they pretty much almost similarly the same things, except one OS from Windows. If you're a big gamer or if you do office work, then that's for you. You gotta stick with Windows if you're working through server side or working remotely, which is mostly supported majority of people that are working from home. And that's something that you've got to stick with Windows. And that's the further from the truth. Now, if you're working in major music or movie productions, then the Mac is going to be for you. And that's where all the creative outlet that's going to happen. And especially as someone like last week that's right there have always been a very, very popular choice for a lot of the young generation. That's someone that's using Macs, especially if they're creating like YouTube videos or who knows, video projects for small companies or advertisements. Then that's where I think the Mac comes in play for a lot of these people, right? So that's the one thing I'd say about those two too. And last week I've said one thing about the Macs was, for one, I had my criticisms with Macs, and to me, Mac, especially with when it comes to Apple, the desktop, I think what I felt that they've missed out on was that they always forget, or they sometimes always abandon the desktop users. And it's like they push them aside and they've never continued to focus on improving the desktop world. That's all how I see that right there too. And maybe not everybody sees what I see right there too. Maybe not. And just that, just so much, actually, there's just so much that Apple seems to miss right there too. And I feel that with the changes, what's happening with Apple recently, it's always something that a lot of people felt that Apple was always one step ahead of the curve of the competition. That may have been true about over a decade ago with Apple. And so here's the thing with that too. Maybe they've have been ahead of the curve over a decade ago, and I've said this with credit, was that Apple, tends to make good-looking products, and they've always made good-looking laptops for people, especially like right here, which is the iPhones, right? iPhones, iPods. What else? And I think I'm missing something. Oh, iPads, right? So that's one of the main products that right now I felt that Apple has been very focused on, which is mobilities and the portable players. But nowadays, it's not about portable players anymore. It's just not. And that's where I think they've pretty much shift that shift their gears from being just a music player, quote unquote music player, from being from a portable MP3 player through now a mobile company. So I remember years ago that Apple changed their have changed from being just a computer company, and how can I put it this way? They're not really just a computer manufacturer company anymore too. They don't just make computers. They make mobile devices as well. And I have my criticisms with Apple last week, and I think this week I will definitely get onto the verses between Windows and M and Macintosh, the new Macintosh OS, OS 11, Big Sur, which to me, I have to say though, Big Sur, boy, 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 I think it's just so much to unpack right here too, but I will definitely go ahead and talk about the Big Sur. Coming from my perspective, and I haven't looked a lot about Big Sur, but I will just give you my two cents on it pretty soon. First, I definitely want to talk about for Windows 11, which I think it is very important with Windows 11. I think where they're approaching, and before I previously stated that Windows Meet, and I don't even know who on earth have talked about having Windows Meet, right? And that's one thing I felt like it was really odd about their some of the decisions that Windows was working on too, right? I almost felt that it was kind of a weird decision from it. But either way, I think that one of the advantages I can see is that there's some things that Windows have got right, and or Microsoft got right with Windows operating system, and some things haven't, like especially with the era of privacy concerns with people too. And I've had that issue, the same issue as well. Now, my speculation with all this is that with if you're gonna get Windows 11, are you gonna be paying the package when it comes out, or getting that as is for free without having to wait? So that's the main thing I can put it this way is just I don't know. It's just so much things I would say that Windows have now. It comes to me very clear that Windows has an advantage, and to me, there's not a lot of negatives I can put it this way too. Before I did, and while I would say for the most part that look, operating systems, there's gonna be new generations of brand new operating systems coming from both companies or all companies, and. And let me not miss out on Linux, which I have to say though, it's been about over 5 years since I've used Linux Ubuntu. And I would say that especially with a lot of people in the Linux community have talked about Ubuntu being very corporate. But right now, it is not the time to talk about Ubuntu, but Ubuntu I will talk about in some point in a future episode because Linux is a very massive distribution, so there's so many operating systems within the Linux space right there too. And so now with Windows, let's go on to it too. I don't think a lot of the changes are necessarily bad. I think you have definitely have changes that are really good on Microsoft's Windows 11. And the thing about this is that sure, I think a lot of people may not take the user interface lightly at first. Here's one thing I'll put it this way.
I have to say it is different. And I don't think it's terrible at all what many people are saying. And coming to that conclusion right there too, it's just not it's not very horrible design. In fact the design that Microsoft done has it is does look pretty stunning. The way they've marketed Windows 11 is actually very good. I don't think it's a terrible decision coming from Windows, and probably they'll do really good with the way they'll end up displaying this OS on tablets and on laptops. And I am excited to see what goes on as well too. And probably, who knows, I even state before that I probably will end up pirating Windows 11 before I even make the purchase. You know, that's what I would do. In fact, if they offer Windows 11 for free, I would just download it on a flash drive and just test it out from here too. I think that would work. I think so as well. Because, you know, I will say, and I will be the one to say this, but I don't think Windows 11 isn't going to act anything at or it look anything similar like the Vista issue, right? That people tend to see this as. I don't think so. I really, really don't think so. And the fact of the matter is just like, you know, a lot of people, they'll come to hate new things when it comes out too. And I was like that before. And I will say, and I'll admit that I was very skeptical with new products that comes out. And you don't know how that's going to work out too. Especially when it comes to new operating systems. One of the things you got to be concerned with new operating system is that you do not know if they're going to have backwards compatibility. And backwards compatibility, it can be funny with very much like new operating systems that comes afloat, and you do not know how it's all going to work, and nobody will really. And I think with Windows 11, I think this is going to give Microsoft a new edge or a new step to definitely give this brand new UI a chance, really. If you think about it, I just think that that's what they're trying to do at, or attempting to do that is. And it's not bad. Changes aren't always all bad. In fact, with what I've read, DuckDuckGo, which I like the... I do like the interface with Windows 11. And I have to say, though, they're now taking some bold moves and some risk on the UI. I think it is absolutely good that they're trying to step up right there too. And then going on the other hand, with Apple's camp, let me add more with the Apple's camp as well, is that to me, they've become way, way too conservative on their tactics. And I think the UI with the Big Sur, I'm going to just say this, and I think a lot of people may not like it, but I think that they've pretty much come to a very conservative approach when it comes to the brand new UI on Mac OS, which I think it's kind of a shame, because I would think that they would have done a major reamp with the Big Sur. And looking over here and switching over to this screen right here, the Big Sur. And look, and it's, let me just go closer. Like, in fact, there hasn't been like very much huge changes. I'm sure they made the, they took off the edges and they made it very clean and all, but you know, it just almost feels like, previous Mac OS's, except all they did is made, the UI pretty, and pretty much that's all this. What they've done, and it's not like they've made a drastic change, right? And I'm sure there's gonna be people that love it and hate it, and who knows, right? And I don't know. They could have made a better step into just going out and made a redesign that was well worth it too. And I'm sure that people in the Apple camp will be end up being happy. And who knows? I'm just looking over right there. I have to say, like, with people that demonstrated with Apple's Big Sur, I have to say though, it is a little disappointing. They could have done a better job. And for the most part, I have to agree. They could have done a better job what they could have offered. And that's one thing I felt that Apple, and with Apple, I think it's not terrible. One thing, like I've said before, was yes, I do think that if you're going to get the M1 chip, the chipset for Apple, I think you should give it a chance and see how everyone likes it, right? And I felt that, like, and last episode was that they've taken this brand new step of Mac OS 11 into the wrong direction. It doesn't feel like an upgrade. It almost feels like a downgrade. Like Apple decided to strip off eGPU support right off the spot, and the fact is that they've took out NVIDIA as their support, and I believe what was the other one too. But anyways, they've taken off support that's going to be unnecessary. In fact, I don't know why. It's sooner or later, at least, I don't know. Intel chipset, they've took off Intel and chip support completely from Intel. And I know that Apple will give life a little bit more time for users, because the truth of the matter is that nobody that's currently on using Apple's Intel-based chipset computers, especially if you have anything that's a mid 2012 laptops from them or over to this point. I believe if you have a laptop between 2012 and all the way through 2019, you should be fine, and which is no problem right there too. Which if you own that, perfectly fine. But I just think the move right there with M1, with M1 right here, I don't mind what they're doing. I think they're trying to, I could see why there's reasons that they stripped off Intel or took away Intel chipset, is that they didn't want to pay extra. If I'm correct, is that they didn't want to have to pay Intel for their chipsets. And I think that all comes down to cost and money. And so the best move that they wanted to do was that by taking Intel away, they figured they can have their own chips built into their own system, which I think probably may be a smart move. I just right now the M1 chipsets, I don't know how long that's gonna last. So that's one thing that's kind of for me shaking my head. And the fact is that who knows how long that's gonna be, and the cost of those laptops are very, very expensive, hella expensive, for these things. In fact, the joke I've always felt, like this inside joke that comes to me about those laptops, is that what happens if they don't ever last long? Let's just say, like, within 2 to 3 years or less than that, they'll end up creating a laptop. Let me just make up something out of my mind. Let's say if they create a laptop called the M3 laptops, right? Chipset laptops. Let's say if they were to come out with one like that too, then what happens then? And then what's going to happen was that people that have purchased off the M1 chipsets from Apple, then they're going to have to end up switching up to the M3 chipsets. And then the next, after the next, which I almost felt that'll be quite weird if they were to make a strange move on that too. You know, I just don't get the Apple marketing behind all this too. And also, Also that, let me add one thing I would like to add right here too, into my thoughts on the war of the OSs, is that I don't know even know who asked for Apple Arcade. And and I'm sure there are people out there that are happy and excited to spend money on microtransactions over to Apple. Sure, go ahead, do what you like, right? If you are into paying up on microtransactions, I just didn't like Apple Arcade, and maybe just my opinion. Don't get mad. But either way, I just think that Apple Arcade is just lacking in games right now. And I just, to me, I just don't care about the whole ecosystem or the Apple Arcade. In fact, in my opinion, I think Apple should have more gaming support, onto their systems. However, I almost felt that that pretty much is a long call. Lost cause right there, because I felt that they've really purposely cut off gaming all in some directions they have. For instance, they haven't cut off gaming on other games, especially like for adventure games. If you're into adventures, great, it's going to still support on Mac OS. If you're into RPGs, wonderful too. And so on and so forth. And now here's the thing I'll end up pointing out, and before putting the close right here too. When it comes to big platforms, many times out of 10, Windows is going to be people's choice of playing on the piece on the PC, now off of their personal PCs. It's never always going to be on Mac, never, ever, ever. Because for one, I will tell you that what was the last time I've seen a gamers playing on a Mac? Not so many, not so many. And also, if you plan on playing games on the Mac, you really have to be very choosy or picky where you play, which games that you can play. Because when I looked on the Steam Store and GOG, one of the things it tells me right there is like, there's just not a lot of options for the average Mac gamer out there too. There just isn't. But and that's one of the things that I almost felt that they've thrown support out of the door too as well. And that's why I felt that Apple has this thing for they can support gamers, but they're only going to support like gamers for the mobile side right here too. I almost felt that they are just throwing their chances out the door, and instead of bringing gamers into the Mac world, they're just pushing them out, and that's where I feel that they're bringing in more people into leaving Apple. And I almost, for me, that's pretty wrong, because they're making all these weird decisions on what Apple wants to do. And I will say personally, I'm not a big fan. I wasn't big fan of the Apple Watch. I never was when they first came out too. And there's something to be said about this too. I was never a big fan. And when Tim Cook announced it, like probably like many years ago, here's one thing I put it this way. The Apple Watch was never a personal favorite. I think it was good for people that were into fitness. But really, I wasn't gonna pay $345 for a watch, or how much that was gonna be. And then you had other competitors like Garmin, the Jawbone, that were less expensive than Apple. And I saw that price tag. I was like, why am I gonna use that for? I'll use a pedometer and use it to count my steps or whatever, right? I just think it was just crazy. Like, just knowing that I would never pay that amount of money for a watch. But if you're that kind of person that wants to hook yourself all into this Apple walled garden, go ahead. That's up on you, man. But for me, I'm like, hell no, I'm not gonna spend that kind of money on a freaking watch. And so to me, that's just that. It's just wasteful to me. I always liked the Apple when Steve Jobs was around. For Tim Cook, however, I think Tim Cook did decent. I don't think he was the best CEO in my opinion. And truthfully though, and to be fair, Steve Jobs did pick Tim Cook to replace for him to be replaced. And even Steve Jobs thought that Tim Cook would be the right fit for CEO, which I will give Steve Jobs credit. At least I would say that for Tim, I think he did try, but you know, he didn't left such a big impression, you know, when he came to it too, because he wasn't like the whole face of Apple. And to me, I will say with Tim Cook is that he did try at least, and I don't think he wasn't the best CEO too. And I think when it comes down to one thing with Tim Cook, I think he did try to fight off have not the government's touch off their iPhones, or I believe it was a few years ago before the 2016 election, was that I believe that Apple or Tim Cook had a big face off with the US government in accessing the terrorist phone at the time. And Tim Cook was like, no, I am not going to do this and that. And however, I think the keys has been revealed that now you pretty much gave access, the government access to iPhones, and now they have pretty much have the power to access anyone's phone at this point too. And the thing about it right there is that Tim Cook is not a very strong CEO, and to me, he was not like I said, not very strong. I just don't think he had that character like Steve Jobs did. It's just me. I could be wrong. Either way, you guys can call me wrong on it too. And if, personally though, I'm not a big fan of the what do you call it, the Big Sur, whatever. But either way, I just think it is very, very early. And the Big Sur is just, they're still having tons and tons of problems with this operating system too, with the way things Big Sur is going. And even there's been people that try to edit videos and movies that said, hey, I'm having this problem with editing movies or exporting videos and stuff like that too, which is a big mess of its own. And so that right there, it just tells me right there is like, well, Windows has a good advantage though, even though I don't think Windows is perfect. But I think people that used Apple are going to end up switching over to Windows, because at this point Windows have such a greater advantage now, big advantage than it was pretty much 5-7 years ago, right? It's, and Windows and Microsoft have changed for the better, I would at least say too, because I remember over a decade ago, the very first, I would say my very first laptop that was purchased for me, which by the way, a parent purchased this for me, and that was an Acer laptop that was back in 2006, 2007. So that was a very long time ago. That was me back in my teenage years when I pretty much owned a laptop. That was my first laptop, and I remember laptops back then, they weren't really designed, they weren't the best designing looking laptops. And I remember that the power port just it had a big damage on the side. And I remember plugging it one night, and it just wouldn't, it would not fit, or the power got loose and it just wouldn't charge. For some reason, the power input just, it wouldn't accept the charge, which is so weird. I was just scratching my head and I was just like, what? But either way, I remember early days of the Windows pre-installed laptops. I remember back then they weren't really built well. And now moving forward, like I would say about 10, over 10 years later, guess what? I love the designs on the laptops now. I think that they're doing really well. And to me, I don't think there's no excuse into switching into a laptop pre-installed with Windows. And I think it is going to be a good time more than ever to do so too. I think as well too. So if you guys are looking to switching, I don't think it's a bad idea nor a bad investment. In fact, laptops are being sold on Amazon, Newegg, everywhere else right now too. So right now, guys, I think it's a good time to be invested up on a good laptop. And plus, the laptop costs like, I would say about between $400 to $700, which isn't a bad deal at all too, to get yourself a laptop at first. Because I think laptops in general have gone much, much better than over a decade ago. And at least with laptops, if you're traveling, like the Ultrabook, for instance, the Ultrabooks are very, very slim, and it's not terrible. It's not even a terrible investment at all to get yourself a nice Ultrabook that's pretty much less than what it was about over 5 years ago. And you could get a good Ultrabook with Windows installed. And you know, go look up Lenovo, look up Asus, look up MSI. They have tons of good laptops. I don't know about MSI. Their laptops are always overpriced. So I would be careful of getting an MSI as well. So just be very, very careful with that too. So anyways, just saying too, but if you like it, go ahead and check out the good prices over on Newegg too, because Newegg, they've always have good prices out there all the time. So that said, that's my two cents on it too, on Windows and Mac and the war of the OSs. So guys, go ahead and check that out too. And if you want to find good prices, in fact, Labor Day is coming around the corner. I believe it'll be a good time for anybody to check up on good prices on laptops if you're looking for one. Hello, guys. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to like, rate, or subscribe into your favorite podcast services of your choice. Now we're going to get into my second story, is the story of Fox News reporter clashes with Jen Psaki over Big Brother's Facebook spying concerns. So this was a big story since last month, back in mid July, right? You know, and this is where I think where it all comes down to spying concerns, privacy rights, and what's going on here in U.S. soil, where I'm at this point. This is very, very concerning. In fact, if you've not heard about this story where I'm going to end up switching over, this was a very big news. In fact, a lot of commentators talked about it. Political commentators have talked about this too. I think this is something I got late into the bandwagon due to many reasons why. As some of you know why I had to, but this is one thing I have to say, that this is a concern. This should concern a lot of people, especially for tech concierge and tech gurus and guys like me that are looking at this. This is a very big precedent right there too. So I'm going to go ahead and play this clip for you. And in fact, I looked at this clip before. I'll give you my thoughts and what I think about this too, about this whole charade.
Is the White House worried that China continues stonewalling the World Health Organization investigators and now
okay, blow it up.
Like they think maybe COVID-19 got into China through frozen food?
We are certainly continue to be concerned, Peter, about misinformation coming from voices in China about certainly the origins, their lack of participation in the process, their lack of willingness to provide data and information to the World Health Organization.
I'm sorry, but I have to stop right here. But I think the whole hand signal is so funny with the lady on the right. I don't think many are taking notice of it. But sorry, I just had to stop and pause. And so let's hear what this lady, Jen Psaki, has to say.
Organization. Continue. As you know, we are undergoing our own process here, our 90-day review here.
90-day review.
But certainly the Chinese providing information, being a participant in the process, would aid the effort.
And then speaking of misinformation and the announcement from yesterday, for how long has the administration been spying on people's Facebook profiles looking for vaccine misinformation?
Well, that was quite a loaded and inaccurate question, which I would refute. Well, Peter, first of all, as you know, we're in a regular touch with a range of media.
Okay, so I just have to pause. While she is right, while it is a loaded and a very big loaded question, and yes, it is, but I think the reporter asked this question, you know, it is pretty accurate what he had said. And what he said right here is like, well, how long has the U.S. government has been spying? You know, I think it's a very big question too. Here's how I put it this way too. This is a very good question. I don't think it's that bad of a question, but I almost felt that I almost felt that she's just going to be dodging this question, not answering in very accurately. And I don't know what it is, but I look at this orange, evil orange hair woman. I swear though, she is something else, this lady. And the best part of it is that she's a very much of a big living meme on the internet. Pretty much circle back Jen. Very, very true. She just loves to circle back.
Circle back. I hate to disappoint you. Circle back. Circle back. That's an excellent question. Circle back. Circle back. I hate to disappoint you, but we will venture to circle back with all of you.
Circle back. And let's just play this clip.
Outlets as let me finish watched, as we are in regular touch with social media platforms. This is publicly open information, people sharing information online, just as you are all reporting information on your news stations.
But, okay, so these 12 people who you have on a list, 12 individuals, do they know that somebody at the Surgeon General's office is going through their profile?
I'm happy to get you the citation of where that comes from. There's no secret list. I will tell you that these are people who are sharing information on public platforms on Facebook. Information that is traveling is inaccurate. Our biggest concern here, and I frankly think it should be your biggest concern, is the number of people who are dying around the country because they're getting misinformation that is leading them to not take a vaccine.
Okay. Let's put a stop to that too. We'll continue on that clip, but this is the part she's dodged, and this is what bothered me the most when I actually watched this weeks ago. And oh god, I really wished I watched this sooner. But so what? This reporter, and I'm sure that this he's probably a really good reporter, not bad too. I'm sure he's done a lot of research himself, you know, before he's shot off any questions to any of the press of the secretary right here too. I think he's asked a really good question about the 12 reporters. So with her, she's not even directly answering who are the 12 people that are spreading
misinformation about COVID-19, right? And that doesn't, and she, I feel this is the part that she just went ahead and slid her way out and not even directly asking him, who are these people? While I don't know if this is all classified, which it shouldn't, it just shouldn't be. I'm sure this is public information that anybody can look up. Again, I don't know where this with Jen Psaki. It's something, it rubs me the wrong way with this orange lady. Orange lady. But it just, it felt that, that's what bothered me the, when I watched her about over 3 weeks ago about her. It's like, what is with this press secretary not directly answering this reporter, who are those 12 people right there that's spreading very dangerous misinformation? And right here, I think at towards the end, it reveals that what Facebook in the U.S. government is doing. So I would love to continue on from here too. So let's move forward.
Young people, old people, kids, children, this is all being, a lot of them are being impacted by misinformation.
The big concern though, I think, for a lot of people on Facebook is that now this is Big Brother watching you.
They're more concerned about that than people dying across the country because of a pandemic where misinformation is traveling on social media platforms. That feels unlikely to me. If you have the data to back that up, I'm happy to discuss.
What the hell? That feels very unlikely. And look, and then look at this smug of a of the secretary, and she said that you're worried about Big Brother while we're controlling. And you, and this is where I think this bothers me right here. When I watched this the very first time, and when she says that. This is not, here you are worried about Big Brother while our biggest concern is about the spread of misinformation about COVID. Look, say what you want about COVID. And look, if you've seen the reports on COVID, and I've checked on it as well. But if you look at Texas, Florida, Mississippi, those cases have not spiked of early of 2021. And I will put it this way, is that the cases and the death tolls aren't even going high. What the news are even reporting about this too. And then here she is, and look at how angry this woman is. I have to say though, she is just pissed the fact that that she's more worried about the misinformation of what's going on Facebook and social media platforms. Which I'm thinking, look, this is one thing I don't like about big government, but when it comes to monitoring things on the internet, I do just don't like how this is going further into privacy issues. And look, and this is why, as you can see, why she rubs me the wrong way too. She's not directly answering the reporters. One, who are the 12 people? And she's worried about that. The misinformation that's going around in social media, which is like, come on now, really?
That's it.
About things that are on Facebook, I looked this morning. There are videos of Dr. Fauci from 2020 before anybody had a vaccine, and he is out there saying there's no reason to be walking around with a mask. So
he's absolutely right. There's been an interview about this since last year, and it says that there's no reason to walk around with a mask. He's absolutely right, and this reporter is actually speaking, doing his job really well too. In fact, look, I will say that I don't kiss any reporter's ass on this too. I don't think a lot of the news sources in today's world have done a deliberately good job, but he has it spot on, 100%. Oops, excuse me about the mic, but I bumped my finger into the mic. But either way, look. Whatever you say, look, I would say at this point, this guy has actually done his own homework looking at it right here too, because I don't think he's wrong. The cases have not even spiked up too. I do think that with the whole COVID thing, the coronavirus pandemic, that's pretty much been overblown really hard. So continuing on.
Is the administration going to contact Facebook and ask them to take that down?
Well, first, I think what Dr. Fauci has said himself, who's been quite public out there, is that science evolves, information evolves, and we make that available in a public way to the American people.
Exactly.
I have never seen any data to suggest that that the vaccines cause infertility. That is information that is irresponsibly traveling. Okay.
Sure, just one more. Okay, about the science, evolving. Facebook used to post, used to block people from posting that COVID may have originated for a lab. That is something this president now admits is a possibility. So, is there any concern that things you are trying to block or have taken down might someday turn out to be?
We don't take anything down. We don't block anything. Facebook and any private sector company makes decisions about what information should be on their platform. Our point is that there is information that is leading to people not taking the vaccine and people are dying as a result. And we have a response.
Bullshit. Okay, bullshit meter. And so she's, this is where I'll find the third red flag coming from her. She said now Mark's out saying that this is Facebook's responsibility as a private company to look over misinformation for people that taking the vaccine and killing others. There is no evidence, absolutely no evidence involved on that too. And I swear, this is one thing I think with her, she thinks she knows what she's talking about, right? But she doesn't. The fact of the matter is that she's going out there saying that for the unvaccinated are going out there killing other people, which I don't, there is no statistics that makes utter sense about this too. I mean, where is the statistics? Come on now. And what is Facebook going to do about it? Facebook cannot even monitor every single post what they do. That's so untrue.
Responsibility as a public health matter to raise that issue. The responsibility we all have, the government, media, platforms, public messengers, to give accurate information. Go ahead.
Okay. And this is where I find this utterly insane. So, I can't. In this case, it's just... Oh, it throws me off so bad too. And in fact, I almost felt that there's been a lot of things that have come out about this too. And what I've learned about last year, and something that tells me right about when things all broke out since last year. I know for one, it's just It made me question about the whole issue at hand, about whether this came out from a lab or not too, or however this COVID existed, or however this came out to be too. I do think whatever that's been pushed up on the media, they're gonna end up finding ways to blow this whole story really, really hard. In fact, I'm sure there are people that have taken the vaccine. And I will say that I'm not even going to trash anyone that have taken the vaccine at all. Nothing to that point too. I do think, however, that the fact is that when you looked at stuff like this too, Facebook and the US government, in cooperation together on this to stop misinformation. And you already have doctors that have already spoken out and said that this has lots of similarities over the freaking flu, you know? And if you look at coronaviruses in a general statistics from doctors, even that's been reported. In which it said, and there's other medical papers right there too. I don't have it in front of me. If I did have it in front of me, I would just tell you directly. But there's been doctors out there that's spoken up against the lockdowns, for one.
and have said about this too, that this is not this is not a big deal. This has been very much overblown. A lot of doctors are just saying out there right there too. And I've said this in a past episode, is for one, they're going to end up looking into putting vaccine passports on this right there too. And this is no conspiracy theory. Absolutely not. And the fact of the matter is that you've already seen so many reports coming from alternative sources and things that you're never ever going to find in the media. There's going to be vaccine passports coming. So coming back into what this press secretary is saying is that it's Facebook's responsibility to file misinformation. And I find this really weird, because how are they going to end up doing this? How they're going to file all the people that are trying to post on Facebook left and right? And there's a reason why I don't ever use Facebook anymore. A huge, huge reason I don't. Because of the fact that I knew what Facebook has already become since the beginning. I just didn't like the platform. I think the platform itself, it was pretty much trash from the very, very beginning, where it all started right there too. And I think the fact that a lot of people end up switching to Facebook was because, one, they made it to a point that it was very much a very big hype, and Facebook was just going to take over MySpace, something like that as well too. And that was from the very beginning. But I always knew that Facebook as a company was always trash. It was just, for me, however, something didn't add it right, and something didn't look right with the Facebook in general. I always said that just be careful who you go with. At this point, somehow I always feel that oh, and then I have a cat over here. Hopefully she doesn't bother me while I'm going through the store. So having to close this over here too, this is pretty much a huge cooperation now with big government and big tech colliding right here too. And so in other words, and what this means with Facebook is that basically they can be funded by the government, and in order to keep themselves well. And to me, this is where I find this terrifying right there, to see that coming along together. And this is not a free market of ideas when it comes to social media. I think it's the worst combination to have government involvement right there too. Big government involvement coming forward. So that's what happens when you bring in big tech and big government together. Worst thing ever added together. This is something I would never want anything to happen with the two colliding to each other. I honestly encourage anyone, get out of those social media platforms. Sorry about the ending from the last portion. Looks like for anyone that's watched the whole scene with my cat Maya in the background, you gotta forgive me. She just made a surprise guest appearance. So it's been funny. It was actually quite funny, actually. So didn't think she was just gonna jump right off on top of my chair. So it was cool seeing her there. But now she's just now laying in bed, thankfully. So, but yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and finish off with the podcast of today. In fact, tonight I want to even talk about just about anything which that has to do with Discord alternatives. I think that's a really good one I would like to bring up here. So, which here it says free speech friendly Discord alternatives, which in here it says
use a chat app that won't dedicate what you're allowed to talk about. And some people may and may not know about Discord. After finding out what Discord is and what it is about, Discord is not a free speech chat platform. And it's never has been from the very beginning. Look at Discord right now. It's pretty much goes through your messages. In fact, group messages, private messages. I find why a lot of people used it from the very beginning, because a chat message like Discord was pretty much targeted for young gamers, and which I myself is still use it for contacting other podcasters and gamers, but I know slowly after looking at what Discord it is, what it's already has become at this point. You look at Discord, and I definitely want to smart up over the weeks ahead, looking at over new and different platforms. In fact, one time I did use Mumble about 3 years ago. It's really good. In fact, I do like Mumble. I've used it before. I've got to get back into using Mumble. In fact, this part right here, voila, you see here, it's shows Mumble on the list of Discord alternatives, which I think it's a good idea to use something that's going to be dedicated to being privacy focused, even if it's on text, but speech as well. If you're going through that, in fact, I have Mumble installed on my PC, something I love to use much more often, which says an open source community app, chat app that can be self-hosted for maximum control over data security and privacy. Other privacy features include always encrypted communications, and private key authentication by default. Mumble also has plenty of features that enhance audio chats, such as high quality sound, low latency, built-in noise reduction, automatic echo cancellation, and automatic normalization of audio output levels. That's a cool thing that I liked about Mumble from the beginning. In fact, one of my friends had used TeamSpeak before, which it said right here, it has a military grade encryption. And now TeamSpeak, I've heard plenty of some good things about TeamSpeak, about it, but I don't know how true it was back then, where you had to end up paying for chat servers to chat with the rest of your other friends, or let's say if you're playing like Call of Duty or CSGO. I don't know if that was always the case for that too, so don't count me on that one too, because I know that I may be wrong on that portion right here too, so I'm not too sure how true that TeamSpeak was as a paid subscribe or as a paid model for it. Who knows, and could be too, but I would love to look it up too. But something I wanted to mention real quick before going over, in fact, privacy messengers. In fact, I think this one is a really true one. I do want to look over more. In fact, I haven't used Element much, but Element is something I wanted to get into, something I want to use, which I found out many months ago about Element. I still don't know much about Element. In fact, something I'd love to look up later at some point. So, which says, an open source end-to-end encrypted messaging app with several community chat features. Element can be self-hosted for maximum privacy and security, and support text, voice, and video group chats. It has a range of customization options for public rooms, which include toggling whether it's listed in Element's public directory and toggling whether the chat history is publicly visible. So that's a cool, that's a really cool function right there. I liked about the element, which I like to explore deeply in very much more. And I like it because with the element, it gives you a little bit of a sense of IRC right there. And I know Discord does give you some what of a familiarity of IRC, except it's much more graphical friendly than IRC. But I think in if I have to be fair, IRC was still pretty simple, even for a chat relay, which is still cool to say. And continue on, it says one of its standout features is the Element App Store, which integrates the app with a wide range of other services to extend its functionality. You can even connect Element with other community and team chat apps such as Discord, Telegram, Internet Relay Chat, or IRC, like I just said, channels and Stack and chat with other people using these services. That's cool because that's something I love to connect with, and I still use IRC like functions, and something I'd like to go over and connect my Discord with Element one of these days. I will, something I probably will do, probably I have, since I pretty much end up having a lot more time now, something I'd like to go over and just pretty much look into connecting Element along with Discord. Anyways, what is your take too? So besides going through the article from Reclaim the Net, something I'd like to hear from everybody. What is your take with messengers? Would you use it? I'd like to know if you know any other privacy messengers that you use on a day-to-day basis. For me, currently now, I am using Signal to talk with friends and family at this very moment. I think Signal is very private. However, for some time, I've heard stories about how there's been leaks, data leaks coming up from Signal with an exploit, but which I'm still very wary about that too. I will still keep Signal for some time, but I don't know, I'm gonna end up just throwing Signal right off my radar, because for a long time it has been my to-go chat feed messenger or crypto messenger ever since 2015. So I will not pass it out just like that, because I will still keep it, I'll still use it, you know. That's something I will end up using for forever until there's something out there. In fact, I am looking into sessions, and probably sessions may not be perfect on its own because it's not heard widely heard at all. So something to look into it as well. Who knows? That's something I can probably pitch that out to my friends if they're going to switch in. But anyways, guys, it's been fun talking about these stories, and coming up again on episode 163 of the Leon LeGrand podcast, your source of tech and everything else going out there too. So guys, thank you so much for coming in. As always, be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe, and make sure to put down a review on iTunes, Google, Stitcher, wherever you listen to me on. I'd love to hear your thoughts and your takes as always. So that said, everyone, take care. Have a good night.